Let's turn in God's Word to Romans and chapter 12. Romans and chapter 12. And we'll be reading the whole chapter. Our focus this morning will be in verse 13. Romans chapter 12, and beginning in verse 1. Remember that these are God's words, and before we read God's words, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you praise for your word. How we are of ourselves wicked and corrupt. We do not deserve anything good. And yet you speak down from heaven. Here in your word, you thunder down, as we've considered before in Exodus. So, Father, help us now to have ears to hear, even as you thunder down. Give us of your Spirit, even hearts to seek Christ your Son, and love the church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Romans 12, verse 1, these are God's words. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And those are God's words. God's people, as our God in Christ has loved us, so we must love one another. Our Savior sacrificed everything for us to the point of death on a cross. What love He has shown us and has been shown us through Him and revealed to us in the Scripture. As we've considered in this passage, He has loved us in being eternal God, taking upon Himself a new human nature and undergoing, as our a human nature, not a new human nature, a human nature undergoing as a prophet, priest, and king a humiliation we could never comprehend. Yet His humiliation by God's grace has been revealed to us. Our love, like His, at almost an overarching quality, must be filled with humility. And humility is not quiet. Humility is not slothful or at rest. This is not a humility as defined by the world, but is defined by our Lord and manifested and shown to us in Christ Jesus. And so as it is revealed in Christ, what do we see? We see humility very clearly in the incarnation, at the cross. But as Christ is perfect in humility, we see humility in taking out the whip and clearing the temple with it, turning over tables. It's the same with love, with which love looks like humility and honor and affection, as we've heard last Lord's Day, true, or as well, united according to the truth. But there, as we think of Christ cleansing the temple of the money changers, there we see not only the humility of Christ, but the love of Christ. The love of Christ for His Father. The love of Christ for right worship, His worship. A united love. A love of Christ for the children of God. That they'd be able to worship rightly and not be in the midst of false worship going on and things that ought not to be going on in worship happening around them. And so, stopping false worship, that Christ shows in His love there. That wasn't easy. He humbled Himself to this world, put Himself under the law, and so kept it. And so you see, beloved, we cannot and must not take those definitions of the world that have so infected the church like a plague and live according to worldly definitions, because that kills the church. It kills the body. And such definitions emasculate the church from functioning and worshiping the Lord as He desires. And so we must go to the Scriptures. And very pointedly, we must go to God in Christ, who is love, the very manifestation of love. Everything that Christ does as the God-man is love, He is love. And so as we studied, love must be filled with humility. It must honor the brethren as the bride of Christ. It must be affectionate with true and pure devotion to Christ and His bride. And this love must be centered upon the truth of God's Word, united with one another as we pursue more and more that unity of the truth. So we are no longer tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but held securely and guided by the same Word, speaking the same thing, having the same mind, and having the same judgment. So we're putting off selfishness, putting off self-centeredness, and putting on Christ. So what else does this love look like that we are to have as the Church of Jesus Christ and have towards the Church of Jesus Christ? The fifth aspect of love from the passage is a liberal love. A liberal love. That's not the liberal of politics. It's not the liberal of ideas or beliefs. It's the liberal of giving. It's the liberality you see in verse 8. He who gives with liberality, freely. Giving and serving liberally and freely. Verse 13 is our passage. It says, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. This goes back to what we've heard previously. If you see a need, if you're able, meet that need. Right? Distributing to the needs of the saints. What do the saints need? What do God's people need? They need first and foremost the gospel, the Word of God. They need worship, gathered worship, meeting together, being in one another's presence to praise and exalt our Lord and hear Him speak and thunder down from heaven as we prayed. And that the saints need fellowship. We need fellowship. We need each other. We need each other's presence. If you are not present with the saints, you are not meeting their needs. And so first and foremost, the needs of the saints is spiritual. And we keep coming back to Hebrews 10, not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves because of what is happening in our day. Often we think of that very selfishly, don't we? When we think of that verse, we think of that verse very selfishly. We must not. That is translated, I must not forsake. Why? Because if I forsake the assembling together of myself with God's people, then I'm not worshiping with God's people. I'm not being blessed. I'm not putting myself in the way of blessing, in the position where God pours out His grace more abundantly than in any other place. But don't be so selfish and self-centered in that thought. That's true. All those things are true. But don't be so selfish and self-centered to only think of yourself, because that's not love. The verse right before provides the context and the meaning of that passage. It says, "And let us consider one another." That is, love one another, beloved. Let us consider one another. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. How do we do that? Not forsaking the gathering or the assembling together of ourselves, as is the manner of some. But we assemble together for what purpose? To exhort one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. But if you aren't meeting together for worship, meeting the needs of the saints, what are you doing? You're not exhorting one another. You're not being the iron sharpening iron, as we've heard. You're not grieving and rejoicing with each other, as we're called to also in this passage. And so why is this important? The text goes on. For if we sin willfully, how are we sinning willfully? By not assembling together with the saints for worship. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there's that united truth, a united love. If we sin willfully by not worshiping together on the Lord's Day after receiving God's Word, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. And so what is the command? We can't let the saints fall into that sin of forsaking the Lord's Day and His worship, because that is forsaking the needs of the saints. Meeting the needs of the saints. Not just yourself, but those in the congregation, in the church. And what are we to do with such a people who do forsake the assembling together, the gathering together? It says, exhort one another. In love, exhort them to assemble together. Because when the saints gather together, that is where our God blesses and encourages us in Christ and in our fellowship with one another. If you're not meeting and assembling together on the Lord's Day with the saints for worship, when the call of God to worship Him goes out morning and evening, then you are not loving the bride of Christ. You are breaking your vows you took. If you're a member of our congregation, you're breaking the vows you took. You go back, you look at your vows, not just the one about keeping the Lord's Day in worship. You go to look at the other ones. And it requires you to be in people's presence. Those vows require you to be together. And so minister with one another in fellowship. And so you're breaking your vows, you're breaking so also God's commandments. Not loving the church as Christ does. Now that's the spiritual side of love, to see a need among the saints that it would be met lest we fall into judgment. And we're going to get into more spiritual aspects of love, as we already have next Lord's Day, Lord willing, and after that as well, in the sixth aspect of love in verse 15. But verse 13 seems to be properly speaking of physical needs. So how do we love in action? How do we love in action? We've covered the mind, we've covered the affections, we've covered also, and we'll continue covering all those, including the heart. But what about our actions? We must see this command to love freely, liberally distributing to the needs of the saints, it says. Most commentators will here address meeting the needs of those who are poor among us. But what you should see here first is the general principle. As we've already heard, see a need, meet a need, right? If you see a need in the church, seek to meet that need. Try to do it. Try to help people. If someone needs something in the body of Christ, help them. Now, of those who are poor, remember that God has given us the poor. Right? He's made some people, certain people, poor. He's given us the widow. He's given us the orphan. Who is in need? Typically those who were just mentioned, which is why God, through the Scriptures, mentions them often. Right? The poor, the widow, and the orphan. God has blessed them in a certain way. And in on this earth, perhaps not in the area of money, especially in the biblical times. For like the widow, the Lord taking away her husband, there was often then no provision coming in, or not any great provision. But God has blessed them in a certain way. And we praise the Lord for them. God has blessed them in other ways, right? For the widow taking away her husband, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's a good thing. It's a good thing because God works all things together for our good. For the orphan taking away their parents, blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise Him that He's done so. It's hard, yes, but blessed be His name. He gives and He takes away. The poor, generally speaking in the world, there are many among the poor who have made, many have, not all, many have made bad decisions. We would not doubt that. Many who are lazy among the poor. But even in the church, we should note that it is here to the necessities of the saints that we are to minister and serve to help meet their needs. Not unto their laziness, though. But Christ's bride, those who are poor and amongst Christ's bride, remember that Christ has saved them. Christ married them. Those amongst our congregation, from what I could see, are diligent workers, yet God has not made them well off. Maybe, not necessarily, but suffering the consequences of past sins, past struggles, etc. But each of you know better. Of course, if you are poor, you know better about yourselves. And so you ought to heed the warning, all of us should. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Notice the context. Even in the body of Christ, those who are struggling, those who are not working because they chose not to work. He then even says, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good, in helping or guiding, as we'll see in a moment. Another commentator said, so far from its being the duty of Christians to support the idle, we ought not to do that. It would be a breach of one of the laws of Christ's kingdom. And we don't use that excuse, though, to not help someone. Right? Don't assume someone is lazy or idle in the body of Christ just because they are not as well off as you or poor. We can't just assume, well, they're lazy. They don't have money, therefore they're lazy. They're not working. Therefore they're lazy. There's people all over the place right now today who are not working. But they're not lazy. There's many who want to work. And so that they would eat. But if it's apparent that they are lazy, if it's evident very clearly, then guide them. Right? See a need, meet a need. Counsel them in humility, not in pride. But God has blessed each one who may be poor. We need to remember that as well. Who are not as well off and brought them to be part of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord for that. He's given you riches, even the poor. He's given you riches in the heavenly places in Christ, the great inheritance, even God Himself. And so you are, if you are poor, look with confidence and comfort and satisfaction in Christ and His promises. Don't be given over to coveting or jealousy. And as you, beloved, those who are maybe poor, as you see a need in the congregation, even if you be the poor one, if you see a need in the congregation, seek to meet that need. Just because you might not be well off or you may be poor does not mean you don't get the help. This command somehow doesn't apply to you. It absolutely applies to you. If you see a need in your poverty, even of someone else who is poor, seek to meet that need. Because remembering the promises that He's given to us to bless those who give and to help, who love the bride of Christ. We even see remember the widow who gave her two mites because she loved the Lord and so loved the priests, right? Because her money was going to the priests. Don't be unwise in what He has given. Be good stewards. But still, you are to obey. Every single one of us here, children too, you are to obey this command. To liberally love by distributing to the needs of the saints. Maybe you don't have money you can give, but you have counsel you can give. Maybe you don't have money you can give, but you have food you can give, right? Maybe you don't have whatever, money, but you can give something else. You can give your prayers, right? There's many things you can give to the saints to love them. You might not have great property or estate, but that does not keep you from loving in this way. And so this is a liberal love for each one here. It's not only a liberal love that each one here must have, it's also a liberal love for each one here. None of the body of Christ is exempted from it because of their condition or because of their circumstances. And so what does this look like? It looks like what we see, as one commentator says, as we search the Scriptures, we see it too. It looks like the poor brethren, he says, the poor brethren are thus made joint partakers of the substance of their richer brethren. The rich make their poor brethren participators with them in their substance by giving them what is necessary to supply their wants, that's to supply their needs. That's what we've seen in Scripture many times. And we'll make mention of one of them that we know from Acts 4 and 5. In the early church. Now remember, we're talking about the bride of Christ. We're not talking about worldly people. We're talking about God's people. We'd use more discernment with worldly people. If there's someone out in the world who needs something, we'd use a lot more discernment, wouldn't we? We would try to think about, are they just, you know, we see sometimes people on the street begging for money on the, you know, at the crossroads, there's people just staying there with a sign, they're asking for money, and they're probably making more money than you or I are making in our jobs. But we'd use discernment there, right? Many of those types of people are just taking that money and going to the convenience store and buying alcohol or something so they can be filled with alcohol. And that too, a sin and drunkenness. But we're talking about Christ's bride, for whom He died. Maybe we see in their lives unwise dealing with their finances. That's a need, beloved. Seek to meet that need. All right? Maybe we see someone who needs a job. Seek to help them in that area. Point them in the right direction. Those of you who are older, to these younger men in our congregation, give them wisdom about careers and jobs, and that will help them long into the future. For the blessing of not only themselves, but their spouses and their family and and the church. Because it's also a blessing to the church. What you have learned, what you've been blessed with by the Lord, skills you have, the graces from the Lord we've talked about before, use them in not only blessing the rest of the body of Christ, but teaching the rest of the body of Christ how to do those things. Some of you may have spent lots of money on education. Use that knowledge for building up the body, for their help in this life. Some of you may have spent a great deal of time studying the Scriptures. Use that with those who are weaker in the faith and communicate that substance that God has given you with those who need it. And all of us need it. Calvin says of this, "The apostle thus intimates that we ought to supply the wants, needs, the wants of our brethren with as much care as if we were assisting ourselves." You know, if you were in a position of need, try to put yourself in that position, try to think of yourself in that position. Wouldn't you want someone to come along and help you? Wouldn't you want someone to assist you or share of what God had blessed them with, not only for your sake, but for the sake of Christ? Right? Absolutely you would. So love your neighbor as yourself. Do it freely, do it liberally, without holding back from those in the body. And remember Acts 4 and 5. There were none who lacked. There were none who lacked among the body. Why? Because they were obeying this. They were distributing to those in need. But who was not loving liberally and freely? Who wasn't meeting the needs of the body? Ananias and Sapphira, they kept back a portion. Now that was one aspect of their sin. There was another aspect in their lying. But it says there, "But Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And right after that, his wife died for the same sin. God's people, we are called to love liberally. That doesn't mean that we need to sell all our property. It might mean that at times, but it doesn't mean you need to sell all your property, all your things, and give to the church. But it does mean that you use everything you've been given by the Lord for His kingdom. And that might mean giving to those who are in need. So therefore, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now the congregation has a mercy fund, and so that the congregation disperses to those in need when we see that need. But don't count on that. That's not what we're talking about here. If you see a need, you, Christian, seek to meet that need. And this is where the rubber meets the road. You are not to have a hypothetical love. When I see someone in need, then I hope someone helps them. That's not the love we're talking about here. I will pray that someone will help them. No, that's not the love. Of course you will pray. You should pray. But if you see the need, seek to meet that need. Maybe you can't. Maybe if it is a need of finances to pay a bill and you don't have the finances, then go to someone else in the body of Christ that may you might know may be able to help. Or you go to the church. But seek to meet the need. But don't use excuses. We cannot be the body of Christ merely resting on verbal expressions. Only verbal expressions of kindness and honor and love, while all the while our brothers and sisters in Christ suffer under real needs. Especially when it's in your power by God's grace, because He's given you all things good. By God's grace to furnish them and help them in their time of need. Love them even in your actions, not just your thoughts, not just in your feelings, not just your words, but your actions too. We are seek to relieve as best as possible according to God's commandments. Again, that's an important qualifier. According to God's commandments, seek to relieve the suffering of God's people. The struggle of God's people. Meet their needs. Meet each other's needs. Matthew Henry says, "It's not enough to draw out the soul, but we must draw out the purse to the hungry." James 2 says, "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled.'" Well, those are great words, aren't they? "But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Those whom God has blessed in this way to meet needs is a way that God has provided to get a sense and empathize with the needs of our family and the church, so we know each other more. We can help each other more. We can pray for each other more as we know these needs and as we've helped with these needs, as though we suffer with them as they suffer in Christ. God's people, we must be ready as we have the ability and opportunity to relieve any that are in need, especially that of the saints. And then, beloved, it says, we see here it's also applied to hospitality. In verse 13, given to hospitality, which is not so much dealing with our neighbors, though it applies to our neighbors, those around us who live around us, but to the means of receiving and entertaining strangers at a distance from their own homes. Remember, in times of the scriptures, it was much more common to stay at someone's home than it was to stay in an inn or a hotel, right? Today, being rich, as all of us are, more rich as all of us are, we just spend money and we could stay at a hotel and when we travel. But for God's people, generally speaking, why would we waste money on such things when we can use those things that God's given for other means to help people in need? Why waste such money? We ought to avail ourselves of our brothers and sisters in Christ. So this is a two-sided thing. We need to be humble enough to seek out a house to stay at and be willing to do that. And we need the humility and love to house people in our homes. This starts with God's people, that we must be a hospitable people. Liberally opening up our homes to the body of Christ. You have a couch, offer it. You have an extra bedroom, offer. You have a floor. All of us have floors. Offer it. If that's what you have, offer it. We think that our homes have to be perfectly picked up and cleaned, which is a good thing. But we think sometimes to have people over, to have people stay, we have to have everything cleaned up and picked up, which is all well and good. But if we use such an excuse all the time, then we will forsake this command. We will not be hospitable when we ought to be hospitable. Now, God has blessed some families more than others, so bigger homes than others. But don't use the excuse, well, I don't have a big enough home, I don't have enough bedrooms, I don't have a bed. Offer what you have to those who are in need. And we praise the Lord that God has blessed some families more than others. Praise the Lord. Yet each family should ask, in what ways can we be hospitable to God's people? How can we care for the stranger who is away from their home? And then we answer that question and we go to the deacons. And we can communicate to the deacons if hospitality is ever needed. Someone coming to visit this church, whatever it be, they're traveling through. Deacons, this is how I can help. This is how I can be hospitable. These are the ways I can host them. And this is what we have available. You think of Martha, who opened up her home to Jesus and the disciples. Did she have room in her house? Probably not. Probably not. But she opened up her home to Jesus and the disciples. You think of Hebrews 13, Paul says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. Hospitality is how we love the brethren. And so that means when you're going on a trip, you're going somewhere and you'll be visiting various congregations in our denomination, let's say, then yes, call ahead and seek to stay in someone's home. Seek the fellowship with which you will be blessed in that time with that other family, as they will be blessed in your company. And this is thankfully more prevalent in our denomination. We give praise for that. Avail yourself of it and to it. And our selfish mindset is, well, I don't want to put people out. I don't want to create a burden for them. Beloved, look at the scriptures. This is not a burden upon a family who is a part of the body of Christ. This is a joy. This is a blessing. And if it is a burden to you or to your family, then you should know that you are selfish and self-centered and prideful. Because God commands it, and therefore it must be good, and it must be a blessing to us to have that fellowship, that extra fellowship time with other believers in Christ. Put that mindset in yourselves, not to be selfish and think, well, the house is not clean. The house needs to be clean, and therefore I can't have this person over. Put that out of your mind. Be messy and have people over. They will love you, and they will be used to bless you as you will be used to bless them. Our modern worldly thinking uses those types of excuses, creates burdens, and tosses our opportunities to obey God aside. Turn those worldly things upside down and toss them aside. Seek to meet the needs of the saints and be hospitable in love for your brethren. But do not merely practice hospitality. Pursue hospitality. Seek it out for the sake of Christ and His bride. Seek opportunities to manifest love to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Freely love like Christ loves His bride, who gave Himself up to death all to meet your needs. He died to meet your needs. Who gave Himself over to the miseries of this life, made Himself under the law, all the humiliations that go along with that, like our catechism talks about, even death and burial, all so that it would open up a way to bring you to your Father's heavenly home, into His family, that now that home in glory awaits us, which is guaranteed to us. We have a home waiting for us through Christ's sacrifice. And so once being strangers, He calls you now to come to Him. You are to come unto Jesus. Call unto Him. Call upon Him and say, I need arms to receive me, to meet my need. And so everyone, come to Christ and turn from your sin and turn to Him in faith, and He will receive you with open arms. And He will love you as he continues to love His church. Love with an affectionate love, beloved, as we've heard. Love with an honoring love. Love with a condescending love. Love with a united love. Humbly seeking after truth always. And love with a liberal and free love shown to each in the body of Christ according to His Word. See a need and then ask yourself, how can I meet that need? How can we as a family meet that need for the glory and praise of Jesus Christ? And then don't just say, I hope somebody helps you. Don't just say, I'll pray for you. Seek to meet the need and actually do it. That's what our Lord is calling us to. He says, distributing to the needs of the saints. Notice there's no qualifications in that. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. That is the mind, that is the love, that is the affection, that is the heart that we are to have as Christ loves and has loved us. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise for the love of Your Son for us, Your bride. We're thankful that You've met all of our needs in Your Son. And You have brought us, adopted us into Your family, brought us in. And Father, may we have that love, even of what You've given to us, blessed us with, let us use it in our love for the bride of Christ to help those in need and be hospitable. You have given us our homes. You have given us our property and estate. You've given us our families. You've given us jobs. You've given us money. You've given us goods and food and all sorts of things that much of we do not actually need. And we often think we need more because we have covetous hearts. But Father, we ask that we'd rather be good stewards of what You have given to us. You surely have blessed us beyond comprehension. Lord, let us use it for the glory of Jesus Christ and to love You and to love Your bride by serving the church in her need. Father, help us and provide for each of us and make us to be hospitable people who meet people's needs, especially in the church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.